This is Podcast 66. I'm afraid all the other podcasts will not survive. Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational quad-core Xenon server. If you will not listen to our podcast, perhaps she will.
No!
La da 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 la da. Darth Vader, I'm a bitch. I'm not going to do anything. La da.
She will come to me. Oh God.
Oh. Well, this is the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 66. Yeah.
For those of you scoring at home.
Hey. I hear even getting past podcast 8 is quite an achievement for most people.
Yes.
That's like the. You know how like most restaurants close in a year?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, if we make it to triple digits, that'll be cause for celebration.
See, what you do with cookies...
is eat them.
Well, before you eat them. You take them out of the oven before they look fully done, because they continue to cook after you pull them out because they're still hot.
And so, because the pan's still hot.
Yes. So that's a good tip.
There you go. There's your food tidbit for those of you who... apparently enjoy hearing us talk about food.
Doesn't everyone enjoy hearing us talk about food?
I don't know.
Wasn't that a topic one time?
Oh yeah, we just talked about food for some dumb reason. Not foods that start with the letter Q, but just food.
Anyway, on today's podcast, we decided to discuss game
video
ratings.
Games.
What, video games? Yeah.
Shocking, I know.
Pussy.
See? You can't get it out of your head.
I know. And the way he said it to didn't make any sense.
But it's awesome.
See, in Too Fast... No, not Too Fast.
No, just
Furious.
Fast and Furious. No, it does.
Right. Fast and Furious. At the end, Vin Diesel, like, rams his car into this bad guy. And then he says, pussy.
Pretty much just like that.
Yeah, and he's not saying pussy like he's calling the guy a pussy. He just says pussy like he's thinking about pussy.
Maybe he is.
I guess.
Because, you know, his woman died at the beginning of the movie and he hasn't gotten any since. So maybe, you know, now that he killed that dude and avenged her, now he can move
Wasn't
on.
Wasn't there
another
no bra
chick
in that movie?
I think there was.
Wasn't that his babe in the movie? Or was he like, I'm saving myself for Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, except she died.
So apparently Michelle Rodriguez is Jeanette Goldstein in Avatar.
Sure. Apparently you know more about Avatar than I do.
Well, she's in it, and she's a Marine. That means she's Jeanette Goldstein. You know, Vasquez from Aliens.
Oh, yeah, that woman. Ugh, Aliens.
I haven't seen that movie in a while. I want to watch it. I should go rent it. But you probably have it, don't you?
I do. I've got the Alien Quadrilogy, even.
So, what would the Alien Quadrilogy be if you include Aliens vs. Predator 1 and 2? Sextilogy?
Alien Shittilogy, I think.
Do you have Apollo 13 on DVD?
You know, I'm not sure. God.
You're drunk with power.
Yes. Into the sun. Yeah, Christ, I don't know if I have that or not.
I'm telling you, we should make Into the Sun Productions.
Well, yeah.
Dale would love it!
It should be a tip-of-the-spear production of an Into the Sun film.
Oh, so two different production companies.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Then we can show it to Dale and his head would explode. Perhaps we should explain this a little bit more.
He'd be like, no!
Maybe this happens with everyone, but you ever notice sometimes you say things all the time and your friends get annoyed by it? And then once you find that out, you say it even more because of it?
Yes. Rock and Rolla is a fine example of this.
Yep.
I've still never seen the movie, but now that I know that it just torments everybody, I say it quite frequently.
I think it torments Dale more than anybody. I think Dale has a low tolerance for that kind of thing.
Yes.
I'm okay with it.
You usually get a good ugh out of him. Maybe he's turning into me, because I always used to be like, ugh.
So, the two big ones now, I always say, blank, blank, blank is the tip of the spear.
This can come up playing Call of Duty, or just, I don't know,
Look, a juggernaut! I'll go fight him! I'll be the tip of the spear!
Yeah.
And what's yours, Jones?
Into the Sun, which spawned from Battlestar Galactica, of course, because they have to fly the Galactica into the Sun, and, well, if you haven't seen that by now, well, tough shit, I just spoiled it for you. But, yes, so I'll just say Into the Sun randomly. And it also references a really shitty Steven Seagal movie.
The one with Chinatown, Japan?
Yes, where it, yeah, like in the first 5 minutes there were about 15 locations and there was a label on the screen every single time they went to a different location. Even if it was just like next door or something, it was just ridiculous. Ugh, it's Diet Pepsi.
That's why Impossible Woman, when we had the flashback or whatever with the black and white, I didn't want to put a date on it because I'm like, I hate that shit in movies.
Yeah.
It's like there's Buddy Holly playing, it's in black and white, it's the past.
Yeah. It's like, you can't figure this out.
What about the movies that are like the White House, yeah. Washington Monument, yeah. The Pentagon? It's like, oh, really?
It's like, no shit. It's like the only time that makes sense is if they're like actually inside the building.
Yeah.
And they don't show an exterior shot. Like, I think Transformers, you even commented on that I think there was... I think it was in that, where there was some point where they were in the Pentagon, and it said, like, the Pentagon, and you were like, well, that at least makes sense, because they didn't show us the building on the outside, but, yeah, it's like showing Mount Rushmore and saying, Mount Rushmore. It's like, oh, really? I thought it was the Eiffel Tower or something.
The Eiffel Tower doesn't get labeled that much, though.
No.
And it sure gets destroyed enough.
Good. Like in G.I. Joe...
Anyway.
And it didn't fall on that bridge in that movie. Like, it didn't destroy the bridge when it fell. It kind of fell next to it, which was
just
nice.
Like in like Star Trek, when that thing fell, it almost hit the Golden Gate Bridge, but it didn't.
Yep, which was awesome.
How about in every movie, whenever someone falls off a building, they land smack dab in the middle of a car.
Middle of a car, yep.
Every time. Not the hood, not the trunk, not all the pavement around it, middle of the car.
And if they're the hero, they land on it and are able to get up without any injuries.
Yep. And then they say...
They might be a little stiff or something, but that's it.
Or they say, I've just saved you, Maggie Gyllenhaal. I'm Batman. Where are the code bombs? See? Oh, God. You know what? Actually, our numbers are growing. I now know 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who still like the original movie the best. So watch out.
I still think Batman Begins is the best of all of them, personally.
Well, my point is, in Dark Knight, he just falls off a building and lands in a car. It's a lot more, like, romantic to, like, shoot a grappling hook and stuff. It's cooler.
Well, that scene just always bothered me in The Dark Knight. I mean, I like The Dark Knight a lot, but that scene always bothered me. Because it's like they're plummeting, like, at, you know, they're nearing, like, terminal velocity or some shit.
Yeah.
And then, at the very last minute... You know, he grabs her and wham, into this car, and somehow everything's okay. It's like, I know he's, you know, wearing this suit and shit, but still, she should be pretty fucked up, if nothing else.
That happens in a lot of movies, like, you can fall as much distance as you want, but as long as you're caught before you hit the ground, you're fine. I mean, there's no damage whatsoever.
Yeah.
And, like, and again, in that movie, is Batman a robot? I mean, he can bend gun barrels? I mean, do you know how much it would take to bend a gun barrel?
I think he's probably got... You know, they never show it, but when he does that, you hear a little sound.
Still!
So it's almost like maybe he's got something special in his suit that, you know, for torquing on shit, I don't know. Maybe he's on a pit crew for a NASCAR team in his spare time.
Well, I mean, I guess if he can, you know, fall off a building.
Yeah.
Well, that's something we should talk about sometime. Not movie-isms, but bullshit movies.
Yes.
Like cigarettes lighting gasoline.
Or the shooting a tank, because that won't actually ignite a gas. Like, you know, when they shoot, like, the gas tank.
Yeah, I think I'd have a better chance than the cigarette thing.
Yeah, but still, it's pretty low.
Because remember in Possumus Woman, when Derek throws a cigarette on the ground and, like, it lights the weeds on fire? Mm. There's actually gasoline on the ground. But one of us had to light the gasoline off camera because a cigarette butt will not ignite gasoline, despite what every video game or movie shelf shows you. Bullshit.
Yes.
You know what else is bullshit?
What would Penn and Teller say about this topic?
That's bullshit. So, this woman's getting married to, like, some guy, and her slacker ex-boyfriend runs into the church and tells her not to. And nobody cares.
Yeah.
She's not mad at him. The only person that's upset is the evil boyfriend she was going to marry.
Yeah.
If someone actually did that in reality, everyone would be so pissed at the guy.
Were you the one telling me about that, or was it Dale, that there's actually some movie where it's about
me.
The guy who gets, like, left at the altar in that situation?
Yes, it's... Well, here, let's look it up.
Because that actually sounded intriguing to me.
Well, you should rent it. It has your favorite person, Elizabeth Banks, in it.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, Carly was telling me about that.
Wow. How have I not seen this? Or maybe I have, and I just didn't realize.
Let's see. Apparently it's called The Baxter.
The Baxter? Or The Bachelor? No, that was some shitty Chris O'Donnell movie or something, I think. Ugh. Just put Elizabeth Banks in.
Yeah. Elizabeth Banks. With a Z.
See, and she doesn't go by Beth. That's cool.
She's like, well, Beth Banks sounds like some sort of porn star or a comic book hero. Okay, let's see if we can find this goddamn movie. Well, she was in Meet Dave.
Oh, God, that thing.
And, of course, the best movie ever, Spider-Man 2.
What about Definitely Maybe, though?
I think she was in Definitely Maybe.
Of course she was. She was even from Madison in that. Oh, if only that were true.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was in W.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Baxter. It's spelled like B-A-X-T-E-R.
Oh, well, yeah, that's how Baxter is spelled. Wow.
Yeah, let's see.
Michelle Williams is in it as well.
Yeah, so apparently it's about... It's basically... The premise of the movie is it's about the guy who gets left at the altar.
Nice. Oh, and Justin Theroux's in it. Michael Ian, but Paul Rudd.
I can't believe you haven't seen this movie. Do you want to log into your Netflix account right now, or can you wait till later?
I think I can wait, but... I have watched most Elizabeth Banks movies. I went through a run where I watched all these obscure ones of hers. But
oh, look, there's that Brothers movie, which is a remake of what was it called?
Gandhi?
No. Sounds like it was the same... Oh, Pearl Harbor, remember? Because it's like some guy gets killed overseas, and then like the other guy shags this woman,
oh,
then he comes back.
Fail.
AIDS.
So lame.
So anyway, there you go, The Baxter.
Nice. Well, I will get in there.
Okay, well, our topics. Oh, wait, what games have we been playing?
Modern Warfare 2, apparently, with the Spec Ops stuff. And then Fallout 3, I'm nearing the end of the achievements on that.
Good.
God, I don't know what else.
That just made me think of something. I was at Greeley's today. Apparently there was a lot of, like, evil going around because Jesse and Megan were giving me the Mac sell really hard. And I'm like, no! Stop!
Ugh.
Anyway, then Megan said, apparently I say what the hell all the time, and I'm like, no, not apparently.
Yeah, I was going to say you say it quite frequently.
Sorry.
Nothing apparent about it.
Okay, but yes, just like that. Apparently we've been playing Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
Not apparently.
Yes, there's that. And I guess I played Assassin's Creed 2 a little, but I stepped away from it to finish off Fallout 3. I figured I'd get that out of the way and then move on to other things.
So how is Assassin's Creed 2?
It's pretty cool. They've definitely... addressed some of the issues of the first game. Like, I've only played, I don't know, probably a few hours worth of it, but there isn't really any repetition to speak of in it so far, and it's just kind of, the world's a bit more interesting, and like being in Italy or Renaissance Italy and all that, and the story's kind of a bit more involving, and there's even a great moment when you meet your Uncle Mario in it, which made me laugh my ass off.
Tell us about it.
Ugh. Because there's... What is it? You meet this guy, and apparently you haven't seen him in a long time or something, and the guy's like, what, you don't recognize me? And your guy's kind of like, eh, whatever. And he's like, it's a me, Mario. And he says it like, just like Mario says it. It's so funny. Just made me laugh my ass off.
Michelle Williams' character in the Baxter is Cecil Mills.
Wow. How does that work?
I don't know, that's kind of funny.
But, yeah, so that's the extent of it. I'll probably have more to report next time on Assassin's Creed 2.
More to observe and report?
Possibly. So, yes.
But Fallout 3 is more important.
Yes. I'm nearing the end. I'm down to just the pit left, for as far as achievements are concerned, anyways, so...
That one's pretty easy. I mean, there's a part we had to find, like, a whole bunch of steel ignorance or something, but
yeah.
It's doable. Like, you might need to look up a guide online, but
yeah.
That's fine. That's fair play.
Yeah, screw it. That's usually what I end up doing with those find all this shit things, because it gets old after a while when you start, you know, kind of going over the same areas again, and especially when it's a game like, you know, Fallout 3 or whatever, where it's a pretty huge world to have to try to find these things. Like the bobbleheads, for instance, I got down to the last few of those, and I was like, screw it, I'm just going to look up where they're at.
Yeah. Oh, did you kill those super mutants?
Yep. That I had to look up, too, because there was the one in that place, like, way on the east side of the map, out behind that industrial building, I think it's like Tacoma Industrial.
Oh,
or something.
Yeah, that was one of the last ones I found.
Never would have freaking found that one, probably.
Yeah, it's amazing. There's so many parts in that game where whole areas you would never even go to, but they're there.
Yeah.
Or like the one in the Capitol building. I mean, like, you can go through the whole game without going to the Capitol building. You pretty much just, you have to want to go in there for some reason.
Yeah.
Sure enough, there's a super mutant
and
or
that's
a
your reward.
Goliath or whatever. Behemoth.
Behemoth, yeah. I was like, last night I wanted to get the terminal hacking achievement out of the way, so I had, you know, 10 or so left to do, and I was like, eh, screw it. So I looked up online, you know, where good places would be to go, and, like, there's that Chrysalis building or whatever, which is basically like a, looks like it's supposed to be an auto manufacturer's building or something.
Oh, yeah.
There's two in there, but I hadn't even bothered to go to that building before, and like Vault Tech headquarters, I'd found it, but I never went inside before, and there were like two or three in there, I think, also.
Or you can just go around hacking people's personal computers.
Yeah, but then they get pissed.
Yeah, Megaton got pissed at me when I hacked Moira Brown's terminal, but
yeah,
they got over it.
I did that too, and I blew away that punk-ass, like,
her mercenary?
Mercenary dude, because that dude just always annoyed me, because he'd cock-off me whenever I walked in there anyways. So when that whole thing happened, he went to pull his gun, I was like, good, you're done. And then I just ran out of there and ran out of town and came back a couple hours later, and everybody was apparently fine with me, so... They must not have really cared about that guy.
They're like, he was an asshole anyway.
Plus there was some other random pedestrian wandering the streets who I had to kill on my way out of town. And
you'll have that.
His body's still laying there, so.
Of course. Well, if you ever, like, get your karma low, you can just donate to the Church of Adam and increase your karma back up. Ugh. All right, so, yeah, so we were going to talk about game ratings and, what was the other game-related thing we were going to talk about?
There's, like, morality.
Oh, yes, morality in video games. This Modern Warfare 2 had the very controversial scene in which you kill a bunch of people in an airport.
Yes.
So, morality in video games. We're not authoring a thesis or an idea with that. We're just saying morality in video games. So.
Yes.
Let's start with morality in video games.
Very well.
Well, as video games become more advanced and whatnot, involve high-tech graphics, you know, sometimes, you know, you can actually... I know, I've felt, like, guilty sometimes in video games, like, killing characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think, you know, as the game... It makes you feel emotions, you know, and with that it can become guilt and sadness and evil and morality. So,
yeah.
I think like in Modern Warfare 2, when you go in and you kill a bunch of civilians, you really have no connection to them.
Yeah.
So you don't really feel anything.
Yeah. And you don't have to kill them either, is the thing, because you can just, like, walk along while those other guys blow everybody away if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I can get what you're getting at. It's like there's just nothing there. It's not like when you played Fallout 3 for, you know, 70 hours, and as annoying as Moira Brown is, you know, if somehow, you know, the circumstance arose where you could blow her away or not, you would not feel good about that if you had to.
Or she can get turned into a ghoul.
Can she?
Yeah, if you destroy Megaton, she's the only one who survives, but she becomes a ghoul.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And she's perfectly fine with it, but it still makes you feel bad. She's like, oh, I'm a ghoul!
But, yeah, so stuff like that. It's, you know, there's a bit of a difference there. It's kind of like the investment of time. It's kind of like the same thing in the real world, you know, where if you hear about, like, you know, a school shooting somewhere or whatever it is, you know, and it's like, well, that sucks, but, you know, it happened in Seattle or something, and it's like, well, you know, yeah, it sucks, but whatever, move on. But, like, when that thing happened in Casanova, where that kid came in and blew away the principal, it, like, hit closer to home, and so it's like, God, I probably know people who know that person or, you know, whatever, and it has more of an effect on you.
Dave Harper taught at that school.
Really? Well, there you go. But it's just, you know, you have more of a connection to it, so it actually affects you. And it's the same thing with these games, where it's, you know, when you spend the time in this world and get an emotional investment, or whatever you want to call it, in some of these characters, if they're, you know, written well enough. It's interesting, because, like Mass Effect has some interesting moments in it, too. Like, there's a point late in the game where you actually have to make a choice that you know you're basically sending one of the people in your team to their death because it's basically a suicide mission they're going on. And you actually, you know, have to be like, well, shit, you know, who do I want to keep around, you know, or whatever. And, you know, it's kind of a tough choice, and it's not just black and white. Like, I mean, there's some games where it's very black and white, and it's like good, evil choice. But sometimes it's something a bit deeper.
Seems like that's coming into video games a lot more. I mean, you have, like, Karma, and Infamous is, you know, the game is about being infamous or famous.
Yeah. Well, like, BioWare was kind of... They were one of the first ones where I saw it in a game, was with, like, Knights of the Old Republic. Because in that one, you can basically either go more toward the dark side of the Force or the light side of the Force, depending on how you conduct yourself throughout the game, and it affects certain interactions you have with people. And plus, it's one neat thing they did in that game is if you go towards the dark side, you get access to certain powers and abilities that you don't if you're on the light side, and, you know, vice versa.
Oh, Infamous was that one too.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of neat that they're doing that in games where it's, you know, if you go to the dark side, then yeah, you can, like, you know, use the Force choke and stuff like that, but then you can't heal people. I think that was, like, one of the ones that was more of, like, a good ability, was being able to heal people or whatever.
Well, it's good that, you know, some games actually make it affect the gameplay. Like, something like BioShock, where the choice of morality, much was made of it,
yeah,
but it didn't really affect the game itself. It just
yeah.
gave you a different ending movie. Whereas in Infamous or Knights of the Republic, you're talking about, it actually changes what you can do. And in Fallout, you know, characters can be killed, entire cities can be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose you notice in Broken Steel, like, you can choose to, like, nuke the Pentagon if you want.
Yeah, I noticed that, like, at the end there when you are calling in the orbital strike. Yeah, there are, like, five different places you could take out. See, I was the Citadel, which
Rivet
was the
City.
Pentagon, the Rivet City, Megaton was on there since I hadn't blown it up. There was some other place, and then there was also this, you know, whatever the hell it was, mobile fortress thing or whatever that was what I was really supposed to be blowing up.
I miss Megaton a lot more than the Citadel. Citadel's pretty useless.
Yeah. I've got a game save not long before that, so I figured I'd go back in there and, you know, try blowing away each different thing and see kind of what happens. But yeah, I never did, like, the blowing up of Megaton or anything. I just... Right away, I kicked some ass. And that was the cool thing, too, with Fallout, is, like, Like, sometimes you think you're making the good choice, but bad things happen, which I thought was neat. Like, in Megaton, at the beginning...
Oh, you tell on Mr. Burke?
Yeah, because
the sheriff, gets
and
killed
the sheriff ends up getting killed, and so then his son's orphaned and everything, where if I would have just blown the Mr. Burke guy away, then the sheriff would have lived, and his kid would have had a dad.
And you feel bad about it, because, you know...
I felt bad, yeah, you know, it's like... Fuck, I tried to do the right thing here, you know, and it's like, look what happened, you know?
So I think we should rename this the Fallout 3 podcast.
But I thought things like that were very cool in it, and I mean, Fallout 3 is definitely like one of the best ones for, I think, like the morality and kind of actually having gray areas in it, and choices aren't always as cut and dried as you might think they are. And Mass Effect was another good one, like I mentioned, with the choice between your two squad people, and then also in the Bring Down the Sky DLC at the end of it, you track down the dude who was trying to smash this asteroid into a planet, and you have this choice, basically, where you can, you know, keep your guns on him and take him down, or he's got these, like, scientists or whatever, civilians trapped in this room that's, like, laced with explosives. And basically, if you go after him, the explosives are going to go off and kill those people. And so it's like, well, you have the choice of, okay, I can catch this guy and make sure he's never going to do this again, or I can let him go save those people, but then who knows, he might try to, you know, stir some shit up on another planet. And so it's like both choices are good choices and bad choices. And it's kind of cool that stuff like that happens in games.
It was kind of a cheat with it in Infamous, though, you know, the part.
I know, that part.
Where the doctors or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess we can tell the audience. In Infamous, basically, like, most of the time you can choose to be good or bad. And it is fairly, you know,
pretty
black or white.
Cut and dried, yeah.
So there's a part where the bad guy's like, I have got six doctors hanging off a building.
It's the sadistic choice from the end of Spider-Man, basically.
or from The Dark Knight.
Yes.
It's like, you could either save these six doctors on one side of town, or I've got your girlfriend over here. You know, and...
Well, they're both hanging from buildings, right, or whatever.
Right.
They have.
And so if you go to save your girlfriend, it turns out it's just some random chick. And your girlfriend was with the doctors because your girlfriend was a doctor, I think, in that.
So then you think, oh, well, if I play the other way and save the group, then I'll save Trish or whatever.
But when you do that,
she's the lone one on the other building, which I thought that was pretty wanky, actually. That was, like, one of my few gripes with that game, because it's basically a cheat.
Yeah, it basically cheats the fourth wall, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, it works in the context of kind of the spoiler of that game, which was certainly unique, I must say.
Yes.
I won't reveal it here. But, yeah, it was kind of a cheat. Well, as soon as I did that, I think I asked viewer Dave, I'm like, okay, so what happens if you don't try to save your girlfriend?
Yeah,
he's like, oh, then she dies anyway.
Yeah. And you were like, yeah, that's what I figured.
Because when I did that mission, I'm like, oh, crap, who should I save? And, of course, I was thinking, maybe if I try to save the people, then maybe my girlfriend will be safe. And then, like, you know what? I decided that my character had more invested in the girlfriend than the six doctors, so I went after the girl, but, of course, she wasn't there. And then the Joker came out, and he's like, I've got a knife here, and Batman's going to jump off a building, and I'm dead.
Yes, so... But that aside, Infamous did everything else very well, so anybody who has a PS3 and hasn't played that yet, you should step up to the streets and check it out.
There's another one. Yeah, so, I don't know, that airport scene in Modern Warfare, I mean, you don't have enough invested in the character, I mean, they're just random people, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, we've all played enough Grand Theft Auto that really we're desensitized to that.
Yeah.
However, you know, if that was some sort of thing where for some reason you needed to betray your own unit, and so you went around killing all, like, the guys like Ghost and Keith David and whoever else, then it would affect you because you have a connection to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about that scene. I'm like, well, this really isn't any different than Grand Theft Auto and driving your car over random people. You know, it's...
Or the helicopter blades, if you fly just right.
Yes. So, I thought it was some one of those deals where it was, like, blown way out of context, and, you know, that's just... I guess it shouldn't be very shocking, but...
Yeah.
I've seen worse things in video games, I guess I'll put it that way. Not that any of that stuff's bothered me, but...
Well, I think it's... When you have a connection to the characters, that's where, you know... That's where it, yeah, you can't just blow away random character models. It doesn't mean anything, but if you like the characters, then it does.
Yes.
That's right. So what was our other topic?
Well, kind of spiraling off of this into the rating system.
Oh,
for
wait,
video games.
One more thought. Like, Uncharted 2 at the end, when the blonde chick was going to die, I was like, oh, I really, really, really hope she didn't die. I actually cared.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, it's not like you can choose to kill her or anything, but still, I mean, you actually really care about the character.
Yeah, that's what's really cool about the game. I mean, I always tell people, it's like playing the Uncharted games, it's pretty much like playing a movie. Like, it's very well written, cutscenes are so incredibly well done, and yeah, you know, like with her, you know, like when she shows up, like I knew she was in the game because I'd seen, you know, preview shit. But like when she showed up, I was like, yes, you know, she's here, you know, because she was really cool in the first game. And
she calls herself last year's model,
which I thought was awesome. And
I was surprised the brunette chick didn't die, though. Oh, spoiler warning.
Well, I liked her, too, because she was kind of an interesting character, I thought, and...
Because she would have been like,
go the way you thought she would.
Yeah, she would have been like holding up a wall. She's like, run, save yourself, Nathan Drake. And they're like, blah. Because usually in most movies, that character, well, she wasn't like evil, but she was kind of ambiguous.
Yes.
In most movies, she would have had to die to like redeem herself.
She'd be like Grace Jones in A View to a Kill.
I don't know if you should compare anything to Grace Jones. Notice I said thing.
But yeah, I mean, like, that game, yeah, I...
No, she'd like be it. Like Ed Harris in National Treasure 2.
Ah, yes. But, yeah, I don't know, yeah, like, towards the end, I was the same way. I'm like, no, she can't die, you know, and it was, I don't know, it's an excellent game. I mean, that would be my pick for Game of the Year, I think.
And then that guy at the end says, Drake!
Yep.
That was a cool game.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's so exceedingly well done that, like, the set pieces and stuff, it's just very cool. Like, the train sequence where you're on the moving
train. Or the truck sequence.
Yeah. Yeah, because that truck sequence, it's literally like the end of Raiders, basically, except you're going up, like, a snow-covered mountain.
Right.
But, yeah, like that train sequence, like when we were checking it out that one day, you know, and it's like, God, how do they do this? You know, like with how, because you're on this train going through the countryside and stuff, and things don't really repeat themselves when you're going along, but like you can just sit in one spot for a long time and the train keeps trucking along, and it's just, it'd be interesting to know how the hell they actually did that stuff with like the scenery and things around it.
I think it's definitely one of the most advanced games ever, I mean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, another thing about, you know, the environment, you're on a train, like, you know, so there's all these independently moving objects, but, you know, they're also the environment. Mm-hmm. And they change, and they get destroyed, and they get blown up, and you can climb on them, and it's...
Yeah.
Well, like that whole sequence where you're in...
In that building?
Yeah, that building is falling down while you're in it.
And a helicopter's, like, attacking the building and trying to get at you, and then there's guys, like, pouring into the building, attacking you while the building's collapsing.
Or the truck sequence. I mean, you know, there's a convoy of trucks going up a hill, and you're basically jumping from truck to truck, fighting guys, beating guys up, shooting trucks, and jumping off trucks before they explode. And
yeah, it's very, very cool.
Yep.
It's definitely, again, you know, if you've got a PS3 and you haven't played it, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Well, you know, some of the action stuff and the gun stuff is not... It's a little loose, control-wise.
A little, but...
But the gameplay and the story more than make up for it. Mm-hmm. All right, so now let's move on .org to game ratings. So apparently in Australia, The highest rating they have for a game is like 15 plus, or basically like our teen rating.
Yeah.
So if any game is rated higher than that, they basically can't have it. Unless it's edited down.
Lame.
Or, it's not that they can't have it, it's like a store won't sell it. Just like,
yeah.
Most stores won't sell an adults-only title, or a movie theater won't show an unrated movie.
Yeah. Or even an NC-17.
So it's really almost like corporate censorship, not government censorship. But apparently there's one guy in Australia that decides all this.
Ugh.
And it's like, that's a whole fucking continent.
Yeah.
Of people that can't buy certain games.
Yeah, because one guy says so.
It's back in the news again, because I guess there's like some Aliens versus Predator game that's coming out. And they're like, you know what, we're not going to edit this down for Australia, fuck them.
Good. Sorry, Australia, but you know what, import your games. Buy a North American Xbox and then just get all your games shipped there.
I guess that's what people do. But God, can you imagine? That would suck.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like...
And Germany's like that, too.
Well, yeah, it's like, because I know there was, like, hubbub over Modern Warfare 2 because of the scene we discussed before. And then also, I think, like, Left 4 Dead 2, there was talk of that having issues in Australia also. It's like, Jesus Christ, you're people running around in a zombie apocalypse, blowing away dead people. They're fucking zombies. They're dead. You know, it's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's just a double standard of entertainment.
But yeah, so basically, like, in Australia, it would seem that, like, things like Grand Theft Auto would never see the light of day there.
Like, James Bond, he could murder, like, 100 people in a movie, but he
no
can't,
blood.
And he can't smoke anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Or actually, there is blood now, I guess, in the new Bonds, which is good, that it's more realistic, because actually, that's an interesting thing. I know I keep talking about that this film is not yet rated documentary. I should have just brought it if I would have thought of it. But
oh, yeah.
There's a point in that where they're interviewing Darren Aronofsky, and he's talking about, you know, like, the rating system for movies, which is, you know, similar to what we have for video games. And he talks about how he thinks that, like, a movie like Saving Private Ryan should not be rated as harshly as, say, like, a Bond movie, like the old, like, the Pierce Brosnan ones, because he's, like, with Saving Private Ryan, you know, he's, like, it's gory, whatever, it's violent, but he's, like, it's real. He's, like, that's what really happens if you shoot somebody. It's, like, when you're looking at James Bond, it's, like, you've got this, you know, suave guy running around, he's shooting people, nobody's bleeding, people just kind of fall over and whatever, and you go on with your life, and he's like, it takes more maturity to understand that than it takes to understand Saving Private Ryan and the violence as it's depicted, because the violence isn't real in, like, Die Another Day or something. And I'm like, you know, he's kind of got a point.
Yeah, I've heard that argument before. I don't know if it was from him, but because it's almost like, well, I guess you could say it's cartoonish, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, at least, that's a nice thing with the new Bonds, is it's like Daniel Craig gets beat up, he's bleeding and shit, you know, it's like there's actually, you know, repercussions to what he's doing, and it's more realistic.
Yeah, it's probably more of a movie shorthand than anything. I mean, like, well, like, the first time you see Saving Private Ryan, it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah, to some extent.
Oh, it was fucking gross, like, guts hanging out, and
I mean, to me, it's, like, good. That's how it should be shown, because it's like, you know what? War is an ugly, violent thing. You know, it's like, it shouldn't be sugar-coated and all that. It's like, you know, this is what happens. You have people laying around you trying to pull their guts into their stomach and crap, you know, and trying to hold their chest together as they're bleeding to death.
And Vin Diesel getting shot.
Poor Vin.
He's like, oh, pussy shit. I got shot by a sniper. Right, so, okay, my point was, video games being for kids, you know, you're a kid for a while, but you're an adult much, much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at us, like...
And adults have spending power, also.
Like, think about, like, how long have we been playing video games since we turned 18? Like, what, 16 years for me, or...
Yeah, like, 14 for me.
So. Well, how many years are you playing video games before you turn 18? I certainly wasn't playing video games at age 2.
Yeah, probably, like, probably, let me see. Yeah, probably like 10, 12 years, because we had a Atari and shit when I was pretty young.
Still, you played it more as an adult.
Yeah.
So,
and
right there.
I bought a hell of a lot more stuff related to it since I've been an adult, because guess what? I, you know, went to college, I got a good paying job, and I can buy more shit now. So it's like,
But these old recent politicians just don't understand that. They think it's for kids.
Yeah, or they play Wii bowling, and they're like, well, this is fun to me, why isn't this fun to everybody?
Well, even kids don't want to play that shit.
I know.
I mean, you go on Xbox Live, and the person that's calling you, like, a effing N-word, I mean, that's not an adult, it's like a 14-year-old saying that. I mean,
yeah.
they still play these games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Well, that's the thing.
The parents, at least in America, certainly don't give a shit about the ratings.
Nope. But I think, too, for Australia, is it's like, what's their highest rating for movies? Do they have something that's kind of the equivalent of the R rating?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Because I would kind of wonder, it's like, okay, why do you treat one... I mean, again, I think it's getting to the point that they have... It seems they have this opinion, or at least this one czar guy, or whatever the fuck he is.
Oh.
It seems, you know, he must have the opinion that games are for kids, and that's it.
I guess we could use the... interweb, see if there's movie ratings, and well, I'm sure there are.
Yeah, but just be interested to see.
Well, isn't there some other double standard with that? What is it? Oh, yeah. Walmart won't sell an unrated video game, but they'll sell the unrated director's cut of Old School.
Well, and they also won't sell CDs with explicit lyrics, but yeah, they'll have unrated Old School or.
Yeah, pretty much any comedy,
or
any comedy that comes out, it's like the unrated version. It's barely different. But it's unrated.
Or even, you know, R-rated movies, you know, which have plenty of profanity in them. It's like, what's the difference between that and selling a CD with an explicit lyrics label on it?
Okay, let's see. Australia.
Huge Jackman.
Okay, there's a 15 MA 15+, which is the highest rating for games I've heard of. But yeah, look, they've also got a restricted and an X-restricted.
Wow.
So it's basically the same as ours, except for they have, like, a PG-13 too, so to speak.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, they have an 18+ and adults. So they basically, they have a mature and adults-only rating for movies, but not games.
Nice.
Right.
They must have a different czar that's over movies.
God, czar. God, we're going to have a czar before too long here.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. So apparently, our presidents these days can elect entirely new cabinets just out of thin air.
Yep. Just make your own.
Make your own cabinet.
Don't like what's worked for the last couple hundred years? That's fine. Just do whatever you want. Taxpayers will pay them.
And be sure to name it after a system of government that was bloodily overthrown in Russia 100 years ago.
Yes.
Lame. So yeah, that's a terrible double standard. But you see that a lot, like with the Walmart DVD thing we just talked about.
Yeah.
Because, oh yeah, games are for kids. Oh, protect the children.
I like George Carlin's opinion. Fuck the children.
Well, it's true. Like, children are like... carried around like
they're coddled so much.
Well, and there's like they're like the fucking Ark of the Covenant, you know, like
yeah.
A school bus. You must stop 1,000 miles away from it, and blah blah blah. And
yeah, well, like, you know, baby on board stickers and cars, and it's like, oh great, I have to, you know, alter my driving habits because this woman forgot to put her diaphragm in.
Or my cousin Barb, awesome. she stopped like. Behind a bus, but apparently it wasn't far enough away, and the bus driver actually got her in trouble, and she had to go to court.
Oh, for Christ.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, are the bus drivers police officers now?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Lame.
Yeah, seriously, people carry around kids like the Ark of the Covenant. And don't touch them or you'll be electrocuted.
There's a lot of people that, I swear, have kids just so they can be little trophies that they can parade around.
See, that's why I don't care about having kids, because I don't give a shit. I'd rather do things and create things.
Yeah.
Like my Bill Paxton pinball machine. I can build that. You know, how many kids, oh, you fuck someone. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see, I'm not against kids, but yeah, as a trophy or whatever, it's like,
yeah,
it's not an accomplishment. That's secretly why I didn't go to my high school graduation.
You know, it's like all the people with their kids and baby photos. And
yeah, it's like, you know what? They consider that an accomplishment. Good for them, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So.
That's like Facebook. You know, you go on there and all these people are, you know, posting about their kids all the time.
Or how many kids can they fit into their picture with them?
See, that's what I hate, is people's Facebook. And I know your sister's guilty of this stuff. I've given her shit for it before, but I get so tired of people whose Facebook photo is their fucking child.
Or their whole family photos, you can hardly see anything.
Yes, but usually it's just their child, or a couple of children if they have more than one. It's like, that's not you. And it's like, guess what? Not that I'm one of these freaked out, you know, people nowadays. It's all paranoid about everything, but it's like, you know, people are so worked up about, you know, pedophiles, or, you know, all these people preying on people, and it's like, why do you want to have your kids' photos just out there where, like, fucking anybody can see them? You know? Yeah, I've given your sister shit, because I've gone on there, and she'll have, like, a picture of your niece on there, and I'll be like, wow, you're looking a lot younger today.
Oh, yeah, well, sometimes it won't even be them and their kid, it'll just be their kid.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm complaining about.
Not you!
I know. That's
it's
my
like,
whole
thing. You can have that on your driver's license? You know what? People might say, oh, well, you guys aren't parents, so what do you know? It's like, well, that doesn't mean we can't have an opinion.
Exactly. I can tell you one thing. I wouldn't slather my kid's picture on my Facebook, you know, for my picture on Facebook. There's a chance maybe I would have a picture of me holding my kid, but my kid wouldn't dominate the picture or be the picture. I can damn well guarantee you that.
Oh, on that same note, I don't want to join your mafia.
Well, I'll have to invite you when I get home.
No!
Actually, I finally gave up on that thing pretty much. I look at it like once a week now.
What is... I've never even tried a Facebook game. Is it like a video game or what is it?
It's... I don't know. Kind of. It's kind of like a strategy type game. Kind of, sort of. But you go in and, you know, you start up your little mob. And then anybody on your friends list who's playing Mafia Wars as well, they're like part of your mob. Mm. And so it unlocks certain things depending on how many people you have in your little gang.
I mean, do you have to like play it though, or?
Yeah, you go in there and you can do different jobs, and then you get like different loot and you get money, and then with the money you can buy like cars and weapons and things, and then you
So it's like Civilization kind of?
Not nearly as cool. But it's kind of a strategy type game, sort of. Supposedly Sid Meier's working on... Is it? I think it's like a Civilization type game for Facebook.
Mm.
Seems like I read something about that a couple months ago, which would be interesting.
When I was at Best Buy the other day, some woman was like, I need a laptop so I can play my Facebook games on it. And it's like, wow, that's a great reason to buy a laptop.
Wow. It's like, well, you don't need much horsepower.
Oh, then there's the other woman that I told you about.
Yes. You should recount this awesome woman's tale.
So, I think they were sisters, and one of them had a kid, but that's irrelevant. And the first sister is like, I need a new laptop. And then she was looking at a PC or whatever. And her sister's like, you don't want a PC. It's like, Vista was terrible, and blah, blah, blah. She sounded like a Justin Long commercial. Like, it was like just verbatim.
Yeah.
And then the woman was like, I don't want to spend that much money. I'm going to buy a PC. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep. It's like, wow, a rational soul. Awesome.
What was Jesse saying today? He's like, well, how much does it cost to upgrade to, like, the new OS? And I'm like, I don't know, like, $200. He's like, that's, like, way more than Mac. And I'm like, yeah, but Mac is a lot more than $200 more expensive than a PC.
Yeah. And did you ask him about the having to pay for the upgrade, like, when a service pack type thing comes out for...
No, I didn't get into it, but... And he's like, well, why don't you buy a Mac? And I'm like, I had to rebuy all my software. He's like, well, so? And I'm like, that's a lot of money!
It's a hell of a lot more money, and the Mac isn't going to perform any better.
Nope.
Sorry.
Yeah, so that's right. We also hate... Well, I don't hate Macs, but...
More than anything, I dislike the arrogant people who own them. And this isn't everybody I know that owns one, because not everybody's fucking arrogant about it. So the people that, like, push it on you and think that they're, like, better than everybody because they've got a Mac, those are the people I have a problem with.
Yeah. So
it's like, no, you got duped by marketing to pay twice as much for
Or you were brainwashed
computer.
In graphic arts school that you had to use a Mac. That's another one.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. That's the only reason they think that.
I know it. Well, I always love that when people bring that up whenever I get into these conversations.
Oh, Sarah Triggs and I did, like, at the last New Year's party.
Yeah.
She's like, why do you use a PC? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Is Photoshop any different than on a Mac?
But I love when people bring that up, because I'm like, okay, I know my friend Ben. It's like, he's a graphic artist. He's done tons of stuff related to that. He uses a fucking PC. He's edited goddamn movies on the PC.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't need that shit. You don't need a freaking Mac to do any of that.
No.
It's like, it's just, ugh.
And all Mac is now is an operating system because it's a fucking...
Yeah, it's on Intel. It's same damn processors and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know how the hell we got way off on this.
Right, so I'm just saying, I'm not against Mac. I'm against the idea that it's better than PC because it isn't.
Yeah, it's just... Different.
It's different, exactly. Now,
and different isn't always better, as our current administration should prove to anyone listening.
Oh, I didn't realize our current administration was any different.
Ooh!
Oh!
All about the promise of being different.
That's even worse than not being different. Oh, God. Hey, that whole bank bailout should have been... Remember when it was voted for in the Senate and Barack Obama was like, oh yeah, I'll vote for this.
Yeah.
Right there, I'm like, nope.
Trouble.
I'm voting for you now, pal.
Yeah.
I actually considered it, really. I voted for him in the primary.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, but as soon as that bank bailout thing happened, it was before the election, I'm like, wait a minute, he's no different than anybody else. And my God, has that been true. Jesus. And, okay, I think we should drop that.
Yep. But there it is.
Yes, different is not always better.
Yes.
Or change is not always better.
Yes. Sometimes it's not even change.
No, but just because something's different does not make it better. However, just because something's different does not make it bad.
Exactly.
It's just different.
It's like I always say to these people, I don't dispute that the Mac's a good computer. Never have disputed that.
No.
It's perfectly fine.
Of course it is.
But it's like, don't sit there and act like I'm some sort of idiot for using what I use. It's like, what I have does everything I need to do,
something.
And it does it for, like, half the cost.
Are you going to buy a stick shift car next year and drive that all of a sudden?
No, probably not.
Because you're used to an automatic.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Exactly.
I've used Photoshop and whatnot, graphics programs on PCs for, like, God, how long now? Like, almost 15 years on PC. No, not 15. Yeah, 14. My point is, I'm just used to it. And, right, it's not much different on a Mac, but my PC can also run video games.
Yes, yeah.
And I can get more power for less money, and I can configure it, and I can put graphics cards in it.
You can put a different graphics card in if you want.
And I have no problem with Vista. Even though Windows 7 is pretty cool, which could be our next podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you remember, like, when California falls into the sea,
Arnold's
going to grab both sides of it? Like, and pull it back together.
Yep. That's why he's the governator. He's there to protect your ass.
Isn't he going
to,
like, quit next year, though?
I don't think he can run again, Kenny. I think they have term limits. And
term limits?
Done something our Congress knows nothing about.
Oh, God. So, do you think he'll make movies again?
I don't know. I'm sure he'll pop up in some stuff, but I don't know if
Stallone's still cranking out shit.
Literally.
Gonna make Rambo 5. Because apparently people want Rambo 5. Oh, he's gonna go after Mexican human traffickers or something?
Well, that would probably be a little more relevant than what he was doing
Whatever he did in the last movie.
All those chunks of meat he blew up in the last movie.
I did not think that movie was all that good.
It was okay, but...
The violence was joyless.
Yeah.
To kind of contradict what we'd... what we were talking about, like, the violence in Saving Private Ryan versus Bond. But in the Rambo movies, I mean...
You expect more over-the-top, kind of Bond-esque violence.
Right, the violence was, like, fairly realistic.
Yeah.
So it was unsettling. Well, I mean...
Because wasn't he, like, shooting people at, like, a fucking 50 cal or something? And, like, of course they were, like,
giant holes in them.
People apart, and it's like, well, yeah, that's what would happen.
But I don't want to see it.
That's what I want to see in a Rambo movie.
What I want to see in a Rambo movie is, like, he has, like, an explosive arrow, he's like... And he pulls it back, he's like... And shoots it.
Well, I want to see that, and I want to see him, like, hiding in mud walls.
Yes,
and his
eyes
popping
cool.
open and then slashing the guy. That shit's cool.
And don't forget... I'm coming for you, Murdoch.
I love that in the first movie. Like, one of the coolest parts in any movie is that part where the cops go out in the woods after him at first, and he set, like, all the traps for him and shit, and he's, like, hiding in all those shots. It's like, I've seen that movie a bunch of times, and I'll watch it again, and I still cannot... I won't, like, think to see where he is until he fucking moves. It's like, God damn it, there he is!
Well, that's because he's so good.
It's, like, so cool.
Actually, the third movie's pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah, that one's fun, because at the end, he's like, fuck him.
Do we get to win this time?
Oh, God.
Rambo, you no expendable!
I know, I love that in that movie. It's like, for about 5 seconds, it looks like he's going to have this boat anchor he has to carry around with him, and then, dang.
And then, of course, he's madder than ever.
Yep. That's the thing, they fucked the Russians screwed up. It's like, Rambo was going home, he was going to run across the border into some other country and take off with that chick, and then they killed her, and he's like, well, fine, I have to kill all of you now. I'm going to have to make a hell of a movie and blow the shit out of this jungle.
Was he, like, flying around in a helicopter just blew up everything?
That's what I love, because, like, in UHF, the Weird Al Yankovic movie, there's a sequence in it where it, like, parodies Rambo 2, but really it isn't much of a parody, because he's, like, going around, he shoots at some hut, and it explodes, and he's like, aah! And that's basically what Stallone does at the end of that movie, and God, it's awesome.
Oh, it's like the Loaded Weapon, National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon movie. It's a parody of a parody, basically. So
yes. But, oh, God. Yeah, it's like...
Oh, Rambo 2, that was written by your boy, Cameron.
No, that's your boy.
I don't know, maybe not for much longer.
Uh-oh, yeah, that's right. What, 2 weeks?
18th, yeah, 2 weeks. So it comes out on a Wednesday? Or no, Friday?
Friday. Today's the 4th, so... There it is. Get your tickets now.
Yeah, I'm sure
they're going to the midnight showing.
Oh, what the hell. I know Dale will probably go too. He'll be like, I'm not going to that movie. Then he'll be like, oh, what the hell.
Yep. Be like, nothing else going on.
You know, maybe it will be good.
My hope for it is that I have such low expectations that it will surprise me.
Oh, yeah, my expectations are low as well.
That's my hope for it, I guess.
You know, working on this Bill Paxton pinball machine, I mean, Bill Paxton made a lot of movies with James Cameron. And, you know, I think, wow, you know, I think one thing people forget about James Cameron movies is they're actually quite funny, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with Titanic, that took a lot of people by surprise, is how funny it was. But,
Wasn't that funny?
What?
Wasn't that funny.
But it had some big laughs in it.
It had a few.
It was funny. Anyway... Maybe people, you know, maybe he'll surprise us. And as I like to always say, I know you disagree with this, but he made a movie in which a woman duct taped a flamethrower to a machine gun, and she got a Best Actress nomination. I mean, who else can say that?
Well, I don't have a problem with her getting a Best Actress nomination. I just think that movie's not that great. But Sigourney Weaver kicks ass.
Well, it's kind of like Terminator 2 is the same way. I've watched it so much when I was a kid. You know, I watched those R-rated movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That... I really don't need to see them anymore. I mean, God, I watched Aliens so many times.
Yeah, I know, and, like, Terminator 2, it's, like... I have no problem saying that, like, Terminator 3 is my favorite of all the Terminator movies.
Mike says that, too.
Because it's, like, it's just fun. Where, like...
I like the first one
the best. Second one takes itself way too seriously. I mean, even though it's got, like, Arnold being campier in it...
Yeah.
Overall, the whole tone of that movie is very stodgy and... almost pretentious at points.
Nah, I don't know if I use the word. It is long.
Yeah, and it's definitely long.
Actually, a lot of Cameron movies are long. Like,
yeah. Yes, you can't fault Spielberg all the time, because...
The Abyss Special Edition is too long. Alien Special Edition is too long.
Yeah. Terminator 2, in any of its forms, is too long.
Yep.
True Lies is probably even a little long.
Eh.
It's pretty good, though.
I mean, that's another movie. I mean...
Surprisingly, Titanic is not too long.
No, it isn't.
Even though it's the longest movie he's made.
Again, if you look at a movie like True Lies, I mean, this guy wrote lines like, suck start a leaf blower. I mean, it's... brilliant in some sort of way.
Yes. I do agree with Dale on that movie, though, that, like, the scene in the hotel where Jamie Lee Curtis comes in there and does her whole
dance.
Oh,
the striptease
thing. She can't figure out that that's, like, her husband in the room. I mean, it's not like the room's that dark. I mean, it's also the only thing that scene's got going for it is she has no reason to think that her husband would be there.
Right.
But it's still a bit iffy.
Yeah. Well, that happens
a
lot.
It's fun to watch Jamie Lee Curtis strip, don't get me wrong, so...
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know. She wasn't terribly young in that movie either, but she still had it.
Yeah.
We were watching Old School on Thanksgiving. I'd never seen it before, actually, because I don't like comedies. But the part where there's the four women driving down the road, and they see the naked guy.
Naked guy, yeah.
And I liked how his wife recognized him pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Because you would. I mean, you...
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Because
she's seen him naked before.
Exactly. Or, like, how many movies has it been where a guy comes and he sees, like, a silhouette of someone fucking someone and he thinks it's his wife, but it ends up being his sister? I know it happened in Serendipity, but it's happened in, you know, it's always the same because, you know, and of course everyone in movies always fucks cowgirl position, too.
Well,
like, the
course.
Woman's always like this.
Yeah.
And, and the guy's like, and then he walks away and it's like, you know, then it plays some Cameron Crowe song. It's like, but yeah, so in reality, people can recognize people a lot more than they can in movies.
Yes.
Of course, in movies, it's convenient for the plot that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Old School, there was no plot reason for her not to recognize Will Ferrell, so she did.
She did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, True Lies is, it's also kind of long, and it's got, it's like, it's not, like, the best movie, but, I mean...
It's got some great moments, like the whole scene where Arnold's riding that horse and chasing after the terrorist guy and goes in the elevator and everything with it.
And Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
She's probably stealing the money to pay for an abortion. Liza Dushku.
Yes.
Oh, the Bill Paxton in that movie. It was just a work of art.
Yeah, that's definitely Paxton's finest hour was that movie.
When he takes her back to his trailer... And they've got the wine glasses and they're plastic. It's like clunk.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. And he's like, as soon as he realizes that it's Arnold, he's like, hey, he's still interested in that vet at all?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God. I wish they would have made a sequel to that.
Well, there was talk of it, but then didn't, like, September 11th basically throw a wrench into that because they were getting pretty close to actually going forward with it.
That would have been fucking awesome, especially if Bill Paxton's character came back.
Yeah.
Maybe he was a spy all along.
What was the line he had? That's something about, like, ass like a 10-year-old boy or
yep,
something?
Yep, that was it. And a pair of titties make you want to stand up and beg for buttermilk. Oh, it was, when I was in Miami, I was riding the airport shuttle back to the airport, obviously. And there was a guy from Twin Galaxies on there, which is the scoreboard people, you know, like King of Kong.
Oh, yeah, that keeps track of, like, the high scores.
Yeah. And we were talking, and he knew who I was, anyway, so we were just talking about stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm building a pinball machine. And he's like, oh, what's the theme? And I'm like, I get asked that a lot. And I'm like, oh, Bill Paxton pinball. And then there's always, like, this, what? But then, he was like a big Bill Paxton fan, so like the whole way to the airport, we were doing True Lies quotes.
Nice.
And I didn't know what other people on the shuttle were thinking, but you were like, suck, start a lead flower! But yeah, he knew all the lines. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right, I gotta put True Lies mode into my pinball.
Oh, yes. Did you get Big Love mode working?
Oh, I should show it to you, yeah, I did.
Nice.
It only has two ball captures, but yeah, eventually you capture all three balls and then Big Love mode starts. And what I want, once Big Love mode happens, I want every, until you lose all the balls, I want every impact on the board to be like a vacuum cleaner or a baby crying or like just some sort of bad domestic sound.
Yeah.
So it's like hell.
be like a plugged up garbage disposal.
Yep, and then when the balls drain in Big Love mode, it says divorce and goes. So, oh, I'm working on the Apollo 13 mode.
Yeah,
it's really fucking awesome. There's like on the board, there's a little moon.
Yeah,
and it's got like the
trail,
elliptical path. And there's like an LED on the path, so it's like a NASA light board.
Okay.
And like as you advance the modes, you see your position around the moon. So basically, your goal is like hit the target enough times, like get back to Earth. So it's kind of a throwaway thing, but
nice.
I try to make the angle of the approach as accurate as possible because
you have to
exactly. I mean, actually, I was working on that yesterday, and I'm like, okay, I got to stop before this becomes Apollo 13 pinball. Because I was on the internet looking. Of course, all the images I've stolen off the internet.
Oh,
come on.
Of course. That's what it's there for.
But they had the stuff, like, they had, like, a wire wrap logic module from the Apollo guidance computer. The Apollo guidance computer, by the way, was the first solid-state computer in the world.
Nice.
But it was made out of, like, 4,000 NOR gates.
American-made, baby.
But they don't use solder in space, so it was all wire wrap. And it looked insane. Like a quilt of wires. And that's one module, and there's multiple modules.
Wow.
Insane. I would have to think they would like reuse those from each mission because...
Yeah.
I was looking at this stuff, I'm like, my God, no wonder this cost billions and billions of dollars, because that stuff was hardcore.
Yeah.
I mean, man. But yeah, that was... See, why can't we have a president say, like, go on TV and say, we're going to the fucking moon? That was awesome.
Bush tried to do that. He said, we're going to Mars, but then everybody was like, no, we can't afford it, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I'd rather stick money into that than into fucking national health care.
Or what was the stimulus package? Like, $800 billion?
Yeah.
My God, you could fucking go to Mars on back on that. I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
Well, most of the NASA stuff now is pretty cheap. Well, not all of it.
Not all of it, but what was it? I think they're...
And it's inspirational.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it gets kids, back to kids, but, gets kids interested in science and, pushing the boundaries of, what we think is possible. And
let's see. What was
important. But, yeah, NASA, I think, their annual budget's something like $18 billion or something. And I think each flight, it's something like $1.5 billion for, a space.
Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap.
Back, but still, compared to the money we've been throwing around lately, this is like a fart in a hurricane, so let's get on it.
What was the Apollo, the whole program? It was a lot of money, I mean, there's no doubt.
I don't know what it all cost, but...
I mean, I'm sure that and the Vietnam War, definitely were part of the 1970s superinflation, which I'm sure we'll see again.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it here. Oh, here we go. Okay, well, the projected cost, well, of course, that's bullshit in government. Think high and double it. Oh, the whole fucking mission, even in today's dollars, $145 billion.
Jesus. Wow. But that's a, drop compared to... Shit, we gave that much money to, AIG, didn't we?
Well, yeah, just one company.
Because AIG alone got, something like $150 billion altogether.
I mean, look at all the technology that came from that, and the fact that we went to the moon, and yes, we went to the moon.
Yes.
That's in today's dollars. They figured it out here. God.
A bargain.
Yeah, it is a bargain. Yeah. Shit. If I was the president, I'm like, oh, hell, fuck yeah. We're going to Pluto.
Yeah, shit.
Because it's cool.
I don't
cool.
care if it's not a planet anymore. We're going there.
No, we're
going
to go there and say, by the way, it's a planet.
Yes.
And then put this on it.
That's right.
That's me holding my middle finger up.
That's what I always say whenever I have kids. They're going to be brought up to fail their planetary tests in school because I'm going to tell them that Pluto is a planet.
I didn't think... I knew it was a lot, but I didn't... Actually, that seems really cheap, actually, to be quite honest. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, $800 billion stimulus package that hasn't done anything
yeah.
to, rebuild roads, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Guess what? If you want to send someone to the moon or Mars, that creates jobs. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, look at the fucking Manhattan Project. That was super fucking expensive.
Yeah.
It created a whole town. And all these, women and stuff that were, they all worked there and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. You know, like, that's how you create jobs, is innovation.
Yeah, innovation. Not like, oh, look, I made a road. Who cares? Anyone can do that. But, like, going to the moon is awesome.
Shit, yeah.
Man, that is really infuriating to see that number, actually.
Yeah, no, we're going to do all this other bullshit.
So,
we had the $800 billion stimulus. We're going to have some trillion-dollar fucking health care.
Then we had the $800 billion bailout last...
Yes.
For the banks, not the homeowners.
Yes. So, here we go. Could have just taken a fraction of all that shit.
Here's another question.
Or Iraq war and Afghanistan war money and all that shit, too.
Yeah, 1 year of Iraq war, we could have an 8-year Apollo moon mission. Oh, that's just sickening.
Yeah. 2 years.
Look how much technology has come from NASA, too.
Oh, I know. That's the thing. It's just incredible. The amount of, like, the things we just take for granted, you know, like... I don't know, like microwave technology. I'm
Tang.
Sure that came out of it. Tang, of course.
That's true. I mean, back in those days, most of the high-tech advanced stuff did come from the government or programs.
Yeah.
But the government was doing cool stuff back then.
Yeah. Now the government sucks.
Yeah, why not give all this money to NASA? I mean, if you gave like even like $500 billion, which would be cheap compared to a lot of the shit they're doing these days...
Yeah.
NASA would love to do that. You know, they'd hire all these engineers
who would
come to America to work. Kids would be inspired to become engineers, like send stuff to the moon. It's all about inspiration.
Yeah.
But no, we just want to like make heart defibrillators and wars and... Ugh.
Instead, now we have people like Richard Branson who have to take up the mantle, you know, private businessman.
Ironically,
And, you know, he's, you know, spearheading, you know... coming up with their own space travel program and all that, and there's some people that are actually speculating that that's kind of like the next wave of space travel to like NASA, because NASA doesn't even have like a new shuttle lined up yet.
Well, NASA doesn't have, they don't give them very much money at all.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, they have to retire all their shuttles here pretty soon, apparently.
See, I'm sad about that, too. The space shuttles are cool.
Suck.
I mean, they're still cool. I mean, they were just as cool as they were like 30 years ago when they were first built.
Yeah, they're freaking awesome, because it's like, you know, they sit them on a pad, they launch them into space, they come back down, they land like a goddamn airplane.
Yeah!
You know, and then they just, you know, they fly it back across the country later on, back to, you know, Cape Canaveral or wherever they need to take it.
Well, they fly it on top of a jet.
Yes, you know, it's so fucking cool.
Yeah, but now what they want to do is... It's like some, what was that dumb thing that sent up to the ISS, like the Soyuz thing the Russians had? Like, okay, not to rip on the Apollo moon missions because we're talking about how cool it is, but it's just some stupid capsule that they send up and then it falls back to Earth.
It just falls in the water.
That's not cool at all!
I know it.
How can Michael Bay make an action sequence about that? He can't.
Yeah.
Ron Howard can, though. Yeah, maybe we should have a NASA episode. Because, yeah, that's true. I mean, getting paid to, like, oh, well, like what Mike was saying. I mean, here's a stimulus package story. My friend Mike was on the road for his job, and he came across a stimulus package road thing. And he said, oh, well, there was a truck driving back and forth that said, follow me in the back. And you would follow the truck back and forth. That's when you know when to drive. You normally, they have a person either end that has a sign that says stop or go.
Yeah.
And they just rotate the sign around. But he said, okay, well, they had a truck that drove back and forth that you were supposed to follow. I'm like, what the fuck? And then, on top of that, on either end, they had a person with a sign that said, slow. But the catch was, I guess he said, it only had text on one side. So, I'm like, well, why didn't they put the sign into the ground, and the ground would hold it for $0 an hour?
Yep.
But no, because they got to make work.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else was saying, well, don't you think that's better than someone not having a job? And I'm like, no, because we're borrowing money we don't have from China, and every person they employ like that makes our dollars worth less.
Yep.
It's not real. It's bullshit.
Well, it's like I read something the other day where they were talking about there's still some money left from the stimulus
package. Oh, there's a lot, actually.
They
haven't spent much of it.
But they're like, well, we'll use this to save these firefighters and police officers' jobs and stuff across the country. And it's like...
What happens when that money's gone?
It's not. Yeah, it's a stopgap. You're not saving their jobs. You're just... prolonging the inevitable.
Yeah, so instead of their county going bankrupt next year, they'll go bankrupt in 2 years.
Yeah, it's just...
It's not a solution either.
No, it's to get them past the next election.
Hell, higher taxes would be a solution.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that all the time. I mean, like the healthcare thing. Okay, if everyone wants healthcare, everyone should pay more in taxes. That's fair.
That's the solution.
That's
that doesn't
democratic.
Break the country. So there you know how we feel about that shit. Kind
but of. Yeah, why not do something cool like space? Inspire these kids.
Hell yeah.
I mean, having someone stand there with a stop sign, that does not inspire anyone.
Nope. Yeah, I know when I was a kid and, you know, seeing space stuff, I was all into space because it's like, I mean, shit, when I was like 8 years old, I got to see the Challenger explode on live television.
You got to see it?
You know, I mean, yeah, it's not cool or anything, but, you know, still, it was... You sat in the classroom, and it was, like, a big deal that there was a space shuttle launch. I mean, it was especially a big deal because they had, like, a teacher on the space shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I was in elementary school.
She was a civilian, too, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a civilian, just regular teacher. She won some, you know, contest or whatever, and so she got to be involved in it. But it's like, you know, in my third grade class, and we stopped class that day, they wheeled mm-hmm. the TV and fired it up because we're going to watch the space shuttle go off into space. And it's like, that's fucking cool. I mean, yeah, it blew up and, you know, it's horrible, but, you know, it's...
Well, actually, so did Columbia?
Yeah, when it was coming back down.
I still remember when that happened because, I mean,
yeah,
it's that was like...
That wasn't very long ago, really.
Well, the Columbia was, what, 2003? And the Challenger was 87?
86, I think. It was either 85 or 86.
I think it was 86 then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 86 would probably be right, because, yeah, it would have been, yeah, third grade.
Well, shit, that probably was, like, only, like, the 20th space shuttle launch, if that. Yeah. Let's see!
And there were actually warning signs that day, because it had been, like, especially cold that morning.
Wasn't it O-rings or something?
Yeah,
I still
the O-rings are what failed.
Oh, there's that picture. Oh, God. Yeah. So that's one of the things that'll stick in our mind, just like the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
STS-51. Okay, so it wasn't that early on.
And I remember when that happened, too, because, like, in class, like, I was young, I didn't know, you know, and, like, when that happened, I didn't realize the shuttle had blown up. You know, it's like, I grew up on Star Wars and shit, I'm sitting there like, wow, they, like, kicked in, you know, like, the hyperdrive or something, you know, and just, boom, took off. You know, it's like, I didn't even realize. I remember the teacher, like, left the classroom. Like, all the teachers had to go and kind of meet with the principal and stuff because they were like, you know, what the hell do we tell the kids, basically. But, you know, like, yeah, I was little and I didn't even understand, you know, what had happened. I was just like, wow, they, you know, kicked in the afterburners or whatever. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But
well,
still it inspired wonder, you know, the space shuttle and the prospects of going into space and all those things.
If I could go into space...
Granted, I didn't grow up to be an engineer or anything, but I still am involved in technology and whatever, you know.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I would go into space in a heartbeat.
Oh, I would too. Even if there was like a, you know, 50-50 chance of not coming back.
I don't know if I'd do it then.
I think I would. That'd be fucking awesome to go into space.
I would...
I just can't even imagine...
I think your chance would be better than 50-50. Like, how many space missions have been, like, 300 or so? I mean...
But I'm saying that's the risk I'd be willing to take.
Your chance would be more like 1 in 150.
I know, but I'm saying I'm willing... Even if it were 50-50, I'd take that chance. Because it would be that awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can't even... You know, nobody who hasn't been in space has any perspective on what it's like to, like, turn around and look at the Earth when it's not framed in any way at all. You know, like, we go to an IMAX theater and we see space 3D or whatever.
Oh, you see it with your own eyes?
And it's like, well, that's pretty cool, but just imagine if you're, like, up there floating around and you're, like, looking down and that's, like, all you see. And if you, like, look over to the left, it's like, you know, blackness or whatever.
Might actually be kind of scary.
Well, I'm sure it'd be pretty freaky, actually. But at the same time, it would be incredibly awe-inspiring, I think.
I don't think we'd have enough training for actual space extravehicular activity, as they would call it.
No, probably not.
I would do it, though, in a heartbeat.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And of course, you'd be like, what are you doing, Jones?
That would be awesome.
Ah, computer! This is obviously the way you talk.
Yes.
Open the hatch! I'm sorry, I can't do that.
God damn it,
this
computer,
was your 50-50 chance.
Shit. I can't make that deal.
I'm going to send Roy Schneider up to save you now.
10 years later. important.
That movie was okay.
Yeah, it was alright. Doesn't hold a candle to 2001, but...
Will I dream? Well...
Crazy. But, yes, I read some places would be awesome.
The reason that Hal sang Daisy was because one of the first computers to ever do speech synthesis, that's the song they made it sing, like in 1961.
Yep.
It actually sounded okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is on YouTube. Well, this is kind of turning into a Fistful of Reviews podcast length podcast.
Ha!
Well, Matt!
Pwned!
So, yes, so morality in video games is ambiguous. The Australian rating system is bullshit. And our federal government should inspire more cool things like space travel instead of shovel-ready projects.
Yes.
Which really makes me think of Russia.
Yes. It's a bunch of crap. Was this like in, you know, like in Germany that they built the Autobahn? You know, it was like
that's cool.
Same sort of stuff. Which, I mean, it's cool, but at the same time, it's just some bullshit public works project. You know?
Well, what is the Apollo moon mission?
I mean, at least... I mean, the thing, I guess, with the Autobahn, at least, is that it was...
Original.
Big enough and original. I mean, now it's, like, known around the world.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like
we basically stole their highway system. We saw, you know, World War II, we're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. I mean, the Dwight D. Eisenhower interstate system, hello.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, if we built something, you know, like an Eiffel Tower or something, which we shouldn't build that, but, you know, if we were building something, like, huge and cool, then, yeah, okay,
like
fine.
In Contact?
Yes, yeah, like shit like that. You know, that would be awesome, but, you know, just, oh, we're going to add an extra lane onto this road.
Well, infrastructure is important, but
it's
so
important,
is...
But the system's already in place to do that shit.
That's right, and it should be state money.
Yes.
Well, yeah, so, it's too bad. If you just want to spend money to make jobs, do something really cool.
Yeah.
You know, why not? I mean,
well, actually, do something to create jobs that are going to continue to be there. Like, all this other shit, it's like short-term crap. It's like temp work, basically. Where if you're innovating and creating new industry and new technology for the future, that creates more jobs that will continue to be there going forward and will sustain themselves. Where all this other shit, it's just stuff that's, like, feeding off of money that really isn't there.
All right, well, you've probably heard enough of this stuff, but yeah, go space program.
Yeah, into the sun.
Probably see it for one more podcast this year, the Christmas special.
Yes. Herod begins.